B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
5 o'clock hour, Mike Mastelli Show, 5 o'clock hour, brought to us by Guida. Door and window, take advantage of Guida Door and Window's big summer sales event. Receive 40% off all windows and doors. Call Guida Door and Window today, 1-877-GO-GUIDA. Check them out online, goguida.com. In the world of movies, we lost a pretty good character actor.
Who?
Wilford Brimley.
Oh, yeah.
Died.
Yeah, I knew over the weekend, yeah.
That's right.
Didn't he have a commercial?
Yeah, for diabetes.
Well, no. He had a commercial. He endorsed. Didn't he have a famous endorsement of a product where he had a catchphrase? What was it?
Diabetes?
No.
That was from a commercial.
The diabetes? Right? Wasn't that part of it?
Quaker Oats.
What was the catchphrase?
I don't know.
It was a catchphrase. Eat Quaker Oats because...
Because they're good or so was it...
No, it was... there's a catchphrase.
Hold on, I'm looking.
That he used. He ate it because it was...
It's the right thing to do.
It's the right thing to do. That's right. That's what he said. It's the right thing to do.
He and I share a birthday. Well,
is that right?
I mean, same day, different year, clearly.
So where was your favorite role? Obviously, you had a great role in a Seinfeld episode.
As the postmaster, Cocoon.
Cocoon?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's too sappy for me.
Well, I was a child when I saw it.
He always played the cantankerous guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he has that look.
He's a cranky.
There is a social media site about that because he's 85. Cocoon was 35 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah. So he was under 50. And now there's a website that goes out and talks about whenever a Hollywood star reaches the age that Wilford Brimley was when he was in Cocoon. Like Jennifer Aniston crossed the threshold this year.
Yeah, oh, wow.
Wow, that's interesting. He was a mean guy in The Firm.
Yeah.
You know, that security.
He was in The Natural.
The Natural he was great in.
Absence of Malice.
Yeah, the Absence of Malice. Yeah, with Paul Newman. And there was another one like Absence of Malice about the same time he was in. The hell was it? China Syndrome? Yeah, I think it was China Syndrome. All right, let's go Mo in Westchester. Mo, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Mo.
How you doing, Mike?
What's up, Mo?
I love the mean character in The Firm. That was good.
Yeah, he was vicious. Yeah. You know that guy with the blonde hair always plays that. He always plays the sinister guy, the stringy blonde hair dude. He looks kind of albino-ish.
He looks like the guy from Bruce Willis flick. You know,
they're just guys that have faces. They can't be cast as anything else but that type of character.
I'm the first call in the 5 o'clock hour. I'm very, very honored here. So hopefully we'll not embarrass myself here. Some quick Sixers notes, observations. Mm-hmm. Shake Milton looked like he was like the first year player, you know, of Saturday Night Live. He was just not ready for prime time there.
You're right.
I don't know what happened, but you know, like Ty just said, and a caller just said a couple calls ago, there's supposed to be defense for Pat's sake. I mean, what's going on here? That there's supposed to be smash mouth defense, and it just looked terrible. But you kind of don't mind them losing. You've been building that up for a couple of weeks.
I actually wanted them to lose to Indiana, from what I saw, there was no change.
Yeah, but
in the way they're playing.
I mean, Embiid's a monster, and I thought Harris played well too. But you know, hopefully, again, they can iron some stuff out. But we'll see.
Frankly, I thought it was impossible that they could lose to Indiana. You know, I wanted it to happen, but I didn't think it was remotely possible with missing those two guys. That team.
Yeah. I guess you maybe play softer when you think some key players aren't there. Let me get to my Flyers observations. Boy, it feels like 4.5 months since we last talked about the Flyers.
Mm-hmm.
But this is what I see from them. And, you know, I'm not going to say this is 100% all the time that they're doing this, but they are so disruptive at their own blue line and through the middle of the ice that they don't let teams come up.
Yeah, absolutely right. They were flying through the middle of the ice in the second period.
And I don't
know
if that's just speed, that's coaching, that's active sticks. It is a constant with them. that they just don't let other teams come out. Now, I'll say that about Boston. They seem to have Boston's and Washington's number. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think what happens when it comes to Tampa Bay is that they try to skate with them and they get, you know, these 5-3 games and stuff. Mm-hmm. And maybe not their style, but I think we talked about this months ago. Like, Tampa Bay is one of those teams that scares you a little bit. You know, I'll go back to another call about, you know, praising Hextall. I mean, this is a guy who, you know, he drafted Sanheim. He found Myers as undrafted. Mm-hmm. These guys jump up. They know that you can jump up because they got the wingers, you know, playing back. They're aggressive. They're both young. They're both tall and stuff. And then you get Hextall signing these, you know, of course I love Lawton, but, you know, he signed someone like, the goal scorer last night. He signed them to like 1-year contracts. He must have signed like 3 or 4 contracts with the Flyers. Raffle. And I hope he's not hurt that much, but guess what? That's why you have Farabee, you know, lace up them skates and get in there.
But the thing about Raffle, you maximize him as a fourth line guy because you got a little skill, and then you have a little skill in the fourth line rather than asking him to do too much on a potent line.
And he's jumped up and down the line, just like Lawton has jumped up and down lines. And they can switch and they can move parts around, and it's going to be, it's good. They looked really good. The penalty kill was really good. You know, it was just a really impressive win, but I think, you know, maybe like you said, they have backup goalie who maybe that's the difference in Boston. I don't know. They don't look as sharp, but boy, the Flyers are disruptive. They really have a disruptive
state. Yeah, they were fun to watch. They really were fun to watch. I found what Brett had to say. Now, I think he was asked about a specific part of the game, but he said, I liked what I saw. Like, I think the question was about their defense at some part of the game. I like what I saw. I like watching Ben Simmons sit in the stance and get stuck into TJ Warren at times. When were those times?
It didn't happen.
Come on. Brett, I loved watching Josh Richardson stalk the Holiday Brothers around. What?
No.
Come on. See, that's the kind of thing I go, come on, dude. You can't say that.
Yeah, like, I understand most coaches, even though the fans don't like it, won't publicly go after guys.
Yeah, but just say nothing. The way. That's Gabe Kapler-esque.
Yeah, that's going too far.
That comment.
The man shot 90% when Ben Simmons was guarding him, and 100% from three. I don't give a damn about your stance. Like, I don't care about your stance. He shot 90% on you over and 100% from three for 20 some of those 53 points, and you're supposed to be an elite defender. Nothing, just, I would say nothing, and then privately I say, come on, man, I told you to deny the ball, why didn't you do it? I know why you didn't do it, but tell me why you never did it.
Yeah, I got you. Let's go, Bill in Schwenksville. Bill, you're a 97.5, the Fanatic.
Hey, Mike, how are you?
Good.
I'm going to just make a real quick point and answer sort of Tyrone makes Sixers point too, but the Wilford Brimley, I'm surprised you didn't bring it up, but was awesome as the Postmaster General on Seinfeld.
Yeah, I did bring it up.
Okay, yeah, that was awesome.
The Postmaster General, yeah. Mr. Kramer?
Yeah. But my Sixers thing is, you know, I'm not going to pick on the players right now. I'm not going to take my time with that. But my main issue is Brett Brown. I think that's the greatest news out of this. Like, they came out to see, he's going to be gone. And that's great news because hopefully they get somebody in here because at this point, you know, He along with the whole league, anointed Simmons and Embiid, you know, superstars, and they're not superstars. And so that hurt him. And then, you know, just the coaching. Now, Mike, you know, and I know the whole, you know, basketball is different, but when you play basketball, and even in the, you know, the last 20-something years, when you're a player, when does a coach usually take a player out? Like, when is it, like a situation, for example, I'll answer that, is usually when you have a big lead. And, you know, you got a pretty good cushion, and you want to give him some rest.
Yeah.
Brown never does that.
He did that with Embiid. He took him out, and they're up 10.
And that's what I was going to say. He does that all the time, Mike. He'll sit there. Embiid comes in the game when they were dominating, and then they started losing. He sits them for 7 minutes. He comes back. They get a 5-point lead. And instead of just saying, let me leave him in, and let's get a 12-point lead, then I'll sit him for another.
Well, listen, I can't fault him with a 10-point lead to give him a little rest. I just think that he waited maybe too long. He took Tobias Harris out at the same time.
Correct.
You gotta, if you're going to take him in, you got to have your other, you know, other guys that can sustain the lead.
Correct. That's what I'm saying, though. But I'm saying he just, he doesn't have that, he never does that feel in the game. Like, when somebody's hot, it doesn't matter.
He falls into regular substitution patterns that sometimes are detrimental to the team. I agree. He does not go by feel a lot as far as substitutions. He has a regular mindset about substitutions.
I understand it. It's still a regular season game. I get it to a point. But win the game.
Yep.
Like, win the game late. Like, I understand. I agree with you. Taking him out, I thought, was appropriate because he already was going to exceed the 30-minute cap that they claimed they had on him in his first game back.
Yeah.
But maybe put him out. But don't put him back in when you're down four. How about when it's two, put him back, and then if you need to get an offensive, defensive sub or do something along the way to try
to
save.
I totally agree with you. He doesn't have that feel.
Right.
And it's just, like I said, whatever's going to happen, it's going to happen.
And why put Korkmaz in without him? I just don't see how that ever will work. Even in your regular rotation, he can't be your sixth. Korkmaz should come in for the first time during Embiid's second time in the game. So Embiid goes out, and when Embiid gets ready to come in and you're getting ready to take Simmons out, then you put Korkmaz in. Because you cannot have Korkmaz without Embiid. You can't. Not have any kind of thing assembling an NBA defense.
We're on NBC Sports Philly, and I love Allah, but he's killed me when it comes to his evaluation of Korkmaz.
What do you mean?
He's always praising him. I can't take it anymore. He's calling him continuing his development. No, he's Allah, I can't take it anymore. Please stop. Can you stop, please? Stop saying anything about Korkmaz. I see my own eyes. All right, I got it.
So you don't expect?
I don't want any praise.
None for
Korkmaz. I don't want any. There's no reason for you to praise him. Okay. No. He's not developing. There's no development there. Okay. By the way, speaking of that Wilford Brimley, there were two great performances in Seinfeld from longtime character actors. That. Whereas he was one of them as the postmaster. Who was the other?
Somebody, Kirk Douglas? Mandelbaum.
No, that wasn't Kirk Douglas. Oh, who was that? Lloyd Bridges.
Yeah, Lloyd Bridges.
Mandelbaum. No, he was a star actor, that Lloyd Bridges.
Oh, all right.
Like a character actor.
No, who?
I'll give you a hint. Midnight Run. He was in Midnight Run. Might have been the best visiting role ever, though.
No, I'm blanking on it.
All right, so Philip Baker Hall is the actor.
Okay.
And he was the library cop.
Oh, all right.
All right.
Can't stand you?
Yes, that was the Can't Stand
You.
Can't Stand You episode.
Yeah,
Philip Baker Hall, the library cop, was brilliant.
He was really good.
He was fantastic.
He showed up at the house.
Yes.
Like at Jerry's apartment, knocking on the door. Yeah, that was really good. That was earlier. Yeah, that was good.
Exactly. By the way, there's a couple of, I'm watching this new Netflix mob documentary. Have you checked this out yet?
No, what's
it's actually
called?
Pretty good. It's three episodes in. It's called Fear City, New York versus the Mafia.
Oh, I saw this.
And Rudy Giuliani's prominently because he was the guy who declared war on the New York mob.
Uh-huh. He did a good job.
Uh-huh. He did a good job. It's actually pretty interesting. The surveillance they used and how they got to the mob guys and brought them all down.
Yeah, he lost it a little bit down the stretch, but he had a little run.
Yeah, he did. The interesting thing about the New York mob a lot of the agents were Italian Americans. Mm-hmm. And they intentionally, like, they thought it was like, it was such an affliction on their culture that they're like this criminal element was allowed to proliferate, and they were in it just to bring them down. Like, they detested it. They gave Italians a bad name.
I could see that.
Yeah,
I could see that with the stereotypes.
Yeah, like a lot of Italian agents trying to get the Italian mobsters.
It's also, I feel like, well, don't you agree? Italians are very competitive instinctively.
Competitive?
Yeah.
I don't know. They're a little, uh, they're they get heated.
Well, that's what I mean. So, yeah, but like, it's there's always Italian on Italian.
I want to ask you about that, Mike.
Yeah.
Okay, now, I've worked with other Italian people in this radio business. There's many Italian
There's a ton of Italians.
Why is it? And this is the Italian person telling me that. Let's say you'll have an Italian guy X driving by Italian guy Y's house. If the house is too nice or something, I've heard many of Italian man accuse the other Italian man of doing something illegal to get a house that nice. How's he get the money to do that?
I've never personally experienced that, but I could see why that would happen. Because Italians think that they're working class people that they pull up themselves up by the bootstraps. So if you've got more than they do, they're pulling up their bootstraps, it's just as hard or even harder than you. How did you succeed more? It must be because there is that element that growing up, either you go that way or you go this way.
And you make the assumption.
Especially in New York City.
Yeah. Right.
Brooklyn.
That's why the agents were like, we're doing it the right way. But it's also like just like an inner.
Well, those agents were raised by Italians who wanted to avoid the other part of that, bad part of the culture.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So that's how, whatever.
It's just always been funny. I was going to this big blowout barbecue. He goes, hey, Tyron, come over here. How's this guy afford all? Look, you see this? He's got the pool. What's he doing?
Yeah, and because, like, because that made that guy feel like a failure. Well, I worked hard all my life. What did I do?
He's got to be taking a shortcut.
But rather than say, he got family money, something. Right, he goes right to, what's he running numbers?
Shady's going on here.
What's he running numbers? What's he doing?
Yeah.
To get all this.
Oh, that's funny. So, again, the Godfather 2 has been on a lot. And I always think of you and the Godfather because you like the Godfather.
Love Godfather.
Better than one.
Yes.
So I went over to the Hyman Roth cake thing again. And the first thing he says, like before he gets to, I want everyone to enjoy your cake. He says, and they bring out the cake and he goes, I hope my age is correct. I'm always accurate about my age.
He does say that. Yes.
That's a scene.
Yeah, he's been done. Yeah. Oh, that's a good.
It's a great scene.
Yeah.
Show the cake before you cut it. I want everybody to see the cake. TJ in New Jersey, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. TJ.
How you doing?
What's up, TJ?
No, I just had 2 points to make about the Sixers. Honestly, I feel like Shake Milton is better at the two. That's just my humble opinion. I don't think that Brett Brown did him any favors. Now, don't get me wrong. Shake probably had the worst game of his life. That's on Shake. But I just feel like he can't run an NBA offense. That's my opinion.
All right. So tell me what you want, what alignment you want to see now. You want Shake as the starting two?
Yeah, and then put Ben at the one.
Okay. And Josh Richardson off the bench?
I mean, you can still have Horford on the bench and then just start.
Give me your lineup. You got Ben at the one, Shake at the two, then what?
Then you still got Embiid at the five. You got Tobias. And then I will put Matisse in instead of what's his name, but I don't think they're gonna do that.
So right, you got Matisse, Seibel in your starting line. I'm just trying to figure out where you're going with this. So Ben, I might not disagree with it. Ben and Shake at the two, and beat Tobias and Seibel, and Josh Richardson is not in the starting lineup.
Yeah, I mean, I know that's not gonna happen, but that's what I was.
It might work. I mean, I don't hate it. I don't hate it. And it may work. You get a defensive presence. You know, you're a little smaller. Obviously.
Then I got one thing about Burt Brown. I mean, I don't even get mad anymore because I just don't understand him. We'll sit up there and get torched, and then he'll sit in the after game press conference and then sit up there and say, you know, maybe we could have double teamed earlier. Like, no, duh. You've been through this before, Brett. What are you doing? Come on.
Yeah, he's very, I don't know, what's the word for Brett? He's ponderous. In his post-game press conferences, he feels he has to add a lot of detail to, like, he's almost given a speech. And, you know, that makes him a human man, a human guy. He's a likable guy. But, like, you know, a game like that, I wouldn't be taking the time to compliment anybody, to be honest with you. At this point, it's like, fellas, you know, I would go in the locker room. That's disgraceful, fellas. We'll talk tomorrow. You know, and express my displeasure in the press. All right, he's gone. All right, let's go, Kevin and Glenside. Actually, Kevin, we'll wait for you. We'll get you on the other side. We'll take a break. And if you want to come in towards the end of the show, you can come in right now. 610-632-0975 is how you come in. Flyer fans, Sixer fans, Phillies play tonight. We got a lot of choices tonight. I'm flipping back. I'm actually looking forward to seeing some baseball tonight.
It'll be nice.
It'd be nice to see a little baseball.
Yeah, I'll see some baseball tonight. Yeah. I had good pitchers, so I don't mind if Garrett Cole mows him down.
I like
the art of pitching.
Yeah.
And he's an artist. Mike Mastelli shows back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
All right, it's time. Our Twitter poll numbers. Oh, I can't wait for the final numbers of this poll today. Brought to us by Paul B. Moyer & Sons. If you need a new mower or if you need other outdoor power equipment, Paul B. Moyer & Sons has it all. Order online, paulbmoyer.com or by phone with Safe Contactless. Pick up in Doylestown, PA. Natalie Eganoff.
Thanks, Mike. Over 2,400 votes on this one today. Have you lost all faith in the Sixers after the loss on Saturday? 57.3% say yes. 42.7% say no. So,
all right. We'll see.
Majority has lost
faith. We'll see tomorrow's show.
Something bad about that.
What do you mean?
Their frustration is correct because they look like the same team as you mentioned in the very start of the show, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
But to bail... Because that would have to bail it's, after one
it's
game.
Frustration. You know how our fans are.
Yeah.
We get frustrated to the point where we go, because that's your defense mechanism, so you don't get hurt. And they stink. I'm not going to do anything.
And they win a couple.
Then we'll see how it goes tonight.
Yeah, tomorrow will be a completely different show.
Right.
All right. So Sunday morning, I get up. I got up a little early Sunday morning. I don't know why, but I get the routine. Routine is. Cup of coffee, and read the Sunday paper.
Mm-hmm. Sounds lovely.
So I realized I only got one serving left of powder creamer.
Oh, boy.
It's done.
Mm-hmm.
So I get the cup of coffee out of it, but since I'm up early, I go, this would actually be a good time to go to the grocery store and get some things.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Right? With the main motivation is to get the powder creamer because I really need it for future cups of coffee.
Okay.
So, guess what the only item I return home without is?
You got everything creamer. But the creamer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, what are you going to do?
Let's say after the show, I got to
go back to the store and get some creamer.
I got to get some creamer. But see, I start shopping, and my mind goes, and I forget what I'm there for.
I do that.
I'm buying some other stuff. In fact,
all the time.
I go into the same creamer aisle, mind you.
Yeah.
And I buy this.
Oh.
Oh, that's the same aisle.
This is in the same aisle.
Oh, man.
You left with
the
creamer?
It's Mio stuff, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I got hooked in it because it said 2 for $5. And I've never had this stuff. This is that stuff you squirt in water. In fact, I squirted it in my water today. I got sweet tea.
Yeah.
It's all right.
Sugar-free. It's not sugar-free. Great.
Right.
It's not great, but it's not terrible.
Right. So while I'm in the coffee aisle, my eye immediately goes to the coffee because I'm programmed to see what's on sale.
Right.
Like if I can get Pete's. For like $6.99 or something like
that.
And I bypassed the creamer completely. This was right next to the creamer. I don't know how I did it.
Did you buy a coffee?
You were a little idiot.
I can tell you.
Nothing was on sale.
So you didn't get it.
As I didn't get the coffee.
Whose brain also operates that way, it's because you got distracted and got it and were really into that. So you were probably just thinking about that and ignoring the creamer.
You're probably right. I thought I had like a discovery.
That's what I mean.
Oh,
you probably
God,
got all excited.
2 for $5?
Yeah.
I sweet up my water, a little sweet tea.
Yeah, put it in your basket and then on your merry little way.
This is like Josh Richardson. Yeah, it's all right, but it's
Yeah,
it's nothing special.
You ingest in less sugar.
Yeah, but normally I just go with it. I go with this biggest essential.
Water.
That alkaline water.
Yeah.
Sometimes you get
tired of water.
Yeah.
Well, that has what? Like the B vitamins in it, right?
What? The Mio?
Yeah.
Yeah, it has some B vitamins.
It has vitamins and caffeine.
I didn't even know it had any vitamins in it. I just grabbed
they don't all
just
have caffeine. Some have caffeine, some don't.
I thought they all did.
I don't think they all have caffeine.
Oh, okay.
I can't even read it. It's so small, I can't even read it.
But yeah.
I didn't even look at it. I don't care, you get bored just
drinking water.
Yeah.
That's why I drink sometimes the carbonated water. I got to break it up.
It's
water.
It's not good enough to own two of these.
Well, you'll use them.
I will. I don't know. The second Mio might be in my shelf for like a year. That's how I feel. Like it's not. I can't wait to have the Mio in my water. So yeah, when this is finished, I'm probably not going to go to the second one.
I don't use the one I have at home very often.
Really? See, there you go. It's in the shelf.
It's been sitting there. Probably should throw it out when I get home.
Yeah, there you go. All right, let's go. It was lemonade?
Yeah.
No good?
Mm-mm.
All right. Well, see, the iced tea appealed to me.
Yeah.
You know? Mm. I wouldn't get it like lemonade or cherry or anything. I had the iced tea.
Well, I like lemonade, so I thought this lemonade, but I don't drink lemonade really because of all the sugar.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Kevin and Glenside, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Kevin.
Hey, Mike. How are you?
What's up, Kevin?
I just had a quick Sixers point. And I had problems with the game, you know, like what everyone has said so far, but the one thing that irked me a lot was the fact that they let TJ McConnell steal the inbounds pass twice. The one time he just flat out stole it from the inbounder, and then the second time he stole it, I think he stole it off Milton.
Yes, he stole it off. That's what set Joel off, that play. But then he came down and charged, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Came down and charged after he got it picked.
For them not to realize that TJ McConnell was going to do that, I mean, he did it pretty much every game when he played for the Sixers. So someone at least say, hey, keep an eye out for McConnell. He's probably coming.
Yeah.
Like, how do they not know he's coming? Anyway.
Yeah, all that little hustling TJ. I bet you a lot of Sixer fans that look at that and said, see that? She never got rid of him.
I was one of them.
There you go.
Thanks, Mike.
All right. TJ Love.
I
gotta give him credit. He played well in that game. Scrappy.
He played hard.
Yeah.
And what I need Shake or somebody to do is put an elbow in that guy's chest.
Yeah.
Because that'll stop him when he runs up on you like that and take the foul, but put something in his sternum, and now all of a sudden he's not going to run up on you that same way.
Yeah.
That goes way back. When a guy's playing you too close, an elbow to the sternum, not to the head, nothing like that, and that sternum, all of a sudden he's coming to you a little slower.
Yo, you know he loved that win too, Teach.
Oh, yeah.
Austin and Mount Holly. You're on 97.5 Fanatic. Austin.
Hey, what's going on,
what's
Mike?
What's going on, Austin?
So I just had a quick baseball point and then a quick Flyers point.
Yes, sir.
I thought something was real funny the other day. We had Blake Snell come into town for my Baltimore Orioles, and they smacked him around. And this is the guy, you know, in the labor negotiations. Oh, man, I'm risking my life out there, bro. Like, I'm going to die. I thought it was hilarious to watch him spit on the field, high-five his pitching coach, be 2 feet from his teammates, no mask, the whole game. And it just solidifies, I don't know, as humans we feel good when we're justified. And I sat there the whole time and said, it's not about safety, it's about money. And that it just drove it home again. Just another guy talking about he's risking his life and he's out there, you know, literally putting himself in more risk for no apparent reason.
Yeah, I gotcha.
But my other point was the Flyers. There was one two-minute period. It was a power play in the middle of the third period that the Bruins had. And that's the second-best power play unit in the league, if I'm not mistaken. They went out there and couldn't get the puck past the blue line.
Yeah, they were ranked third,
The
Flyers' penalty kill is like 20-something.
Yeah, they had them. I mean, they were so beaten down at that point, they were desperate to even get the puck into the Flyers' zone, and the Flyers were just breathing out of their nose with ease, just hitting a clear in the puck. It was incredible to watch. I think that two-minute span, that gave me even more confidence of what they can do.
Yeah. All right, man. Listen, the Flyers I have no worries right now. I'm going to really enjoy watching the rest of this season. This round robin, I think, is going to be very favorable to them. And, they could very well get to the Cup Finals.
No, I'm hoping for it, man.
All right, brother. All right. Wait, Tuesday's Phillies game is postponed?
Yeah.
Due to the hurricane.
Yeah.
Oh. Oh, that's right. We're going to have inclement weather.
Yeah. So they're getting ahead of it.
So they're going to have a doubleheader Wednesday?
Yeah, 4:05.
4:05. Well, that takes us off TV.
Nah, we wouldn't be on anyway.
No, because the Sixers are on
at 4:00 anyway.
Oh, the Sixers play 4:00 Wednesday.
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, that's why general knowledge is Thursday this week for that reason.
Okay. Oh.
And Jason Stark will be on tomorrow.
Okay.
Ah.
All right.
Because Wednesday's only
schedule.
Only a couple hours because you got a day Sixers. So yeah. So general knowledge Thursday for this week only. And Jason Stark, rather than his usual Wednesday spot, Tuesday tomorrow.
Sounds good. All right, let's go Steve in West Elk Lane. Steve, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hey. Steve.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
What's up, Steve?
Just a quick Sixers point and a movie point. I agree with the caller a few calls ago who said I think Shake should be the starting two because, I don't think he's ready to run the point yet. And he has length. He's kind of low. He's about 6'7", so I think he could score.
No, he's not 6'7".
Yeah, if that's all he can, he has to focus on. And another thing, that actor, the guy.
Wilford Brimley?
No, the other guy, the albino in The Firm.
Oh, yeah, who is that guy?
That's Tobin Bell. He played in, he plays Jigsaw in the movie Saw. He's the bad guy in that, Tobin
Bell.
Yeah,
he can only play a bad guy,
He can, he can. And he also played in the episode of Sopranos. Remember the episode where they were going to send AJ to military school, and they went to go talk to the recruiter, Carmelo and Tony.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Him. He was all cleaned up.
He was all cleaned up.
Yes.
Yeah, that was him.
That's a good call by you, man.
Yeah, okay.
That's awesome.
Thanks.
All right, man. You know who was a great, there's another great villain face. He's a blonde-haired guy. He was in that movie George Clooney was in. Which I like a lot. I think it's an underrated movie. Michael Clayton.
Yeah, that was good.
The two guys that are trying to plant the two sinister security guys for the company, New North. The one guy's the blonde hair guy. He's got like a structured jaw.
Yeah, I don't know his name, though.
Yeah, that guy always plays a bad guy.
Yeah, he always plays a bad guy. Yeah, that was a good movie. And
it's a very underrated movie.
Yeah, it got Tilda Swinton won Best Supporting Actress for it.
Yes. Yeah, but she was good in.
But yeah, that was a very good movie. And Clooney with I don't want to give her. Well, I mean, it's been long.
It's been long enough.
No, but the stuff that they do towards the end where they think he's not with us anymore and then he shows up.
It's a good movie.
Good movie.
It's played a lot and I watch a lot when it's on. Lenny in Mount Airy on 97.5 The Fanatic. Lenny.
Hey, Mike, how you doing
What's
today?
Up, Lenny? How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. Doing good. I just called out of just extreme frustration after seeing my Philadelphia 76ers come out of literally 3 or 4 months prolonged, unfortunate vacation or time off, and to hit the court the way that they did on Saturday with Menno in the game in the fourth quarter, with my best player taken out of the game with a 10-point lead, and they lost it. With a defense that I'm still shocked that nobody figured out how to play TJ out of Indiana. And it wasn't like he was shaking and baking anybody. He was just coming down and just shooting jumpers, and nobody was on him. This coaching staff, they do not get their players ready. There's just a lack of preparation. And I'll just ask you this question, Mike. You're the owner of the 76ers, and you saw that performance coming after being off of, or as long as you have been off. What are you sitting there as the owner, Mike, saying to yourself about this team?
A normal owner? I don't know what this guy thinks, but because I'd be ready to make sense. This situation is untenable if it ends the way I think it's going to end. So I would be making changes. Now, the general manager is going to survive. The coach is going to go. I don't think there's any question if this situation, if they lose in the second round. They cut away to Josh. Didn't Josh have a little moment here on NBC Sports Telecast?
Yeah.
Yeah, he had a little moment.
Well, he sounded like
I saw he had a little commercial spot
Yeah, yeah. That was like when the game was going on. I thought it was like, what is the game being delayed for this?
Right.
You know, I thought it was.
We were going to see something special. I had my Sixers shirt on. I had my Bud Light line on my hand. I was ready. I was pumped, ready to go. And man, I tell you.
Yeah, I don't know. Lenny, I don't know what this guy thinks, to be honest with you. I have no idea.
I don't know.
Bye, I just want to be out of this building.
Yeah. I don't know what he thinks. I can't get a read on him. Can't get a read on Josh. All right, let's take a little 3-minute break. We'll come back and we'll take your phone calls until we get out of here on the Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic, ABC Sports Philly.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
It's 5:45. Home stretch of the Mike Missinelli Show. Devon Gibbons will come on board until Sixers Spurs on 97.5 The Fanatic tonight. And on the NBC Sports Philly, of course, you'll get Building a Memory, The Spectrum. And then the Sixers pregame live, and then Sixers versus the Spurs, and then postgame show, and then Sixers Outsiders.
Yes, and the premiere of the warm-up with Serena Winters.
The warm-up.
Yes.
It's prior to Sixers pregame live.
Yep.
Okay.
Premiere, first episode.
First episode with Serena?
With Serena, I'm looking forward to seeing it. Yeah.
Awesome.
First one tonight.
Sounds good. All right, let's go Andrew in Phoenixville. Andrew, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Andrew.
Mike, Ty, Nat, how you guys doing?
What's going on, Andrew?
Mike, real quick, Mike, I have Carter Hart. You got to ride this kid, Mike, for the rest of the ride, Mike. This kid, I just, the stones he showed, just going out there, I mean, get the kid's a brick wall, Mike.
It's going to be interesting to see what this coach does with that, whether he rides him.
I love this kid, man. I think you just let him go, man. Why mess with it? What, if it's not broken, don't fix it.
I agree. I think if he's hot, he's got to play every game in the playoffs. I don't know if he'll handle it that way, but I hope he does.
And if I can get a real quick Sixer and Phillies point, Mike, have you seen the lineup tonight for the Phillies?
The lineup? Batting order? What do you get? No, I haven't seen it. What is it?
Oh, no, I haven't seen it either. I was just curious of what the lineup is, because I haven't even heard it mentioned or anything. I mean, I know Garrett Cole's not at no cup, but
The lineup's out. The lineup's out. We'll give it to you before we get out of here.
And real quick on the Sixers, Mike, you can't let one guy torch you for 53 points. I mean, you gotta double team that guy, get the ball out of his hands. It seemed like he was just doing whatever he wanted to do. And is that coaching or is that just lack of defensive effort?
I think it's a lack of defensive effort. I mean, you can coach your way through that, but he tried some things. Like, if he can't rely on Ben Simmons, then he put Thibault on him. Defense is just a will, man. You got to stop guys.
Average, what, 20 points a game, and he drops 53? That's truly unacceptable.
Yeah, I agree with you. I totally agree, man.
All right, Mike, have a good night. Thanks.
All right, buddy. All right, here's our Phil's lineup for tonight. McCutcheon, Hoskins, Harper, Realmuto, Gregorius, Segura, Jay Bruce as your DH tonight against Garrett Cole. Kingery Haseley in the lineup tonight. Haseley starts tonight.
Well, last time they played, he had 4 hits.
Yeah.
It's just been forever.
Yeah, I guess you got to insert him back in the lineup. So, like, tomorrow, they face 2 lefties in a row.
We don't know now because tomorrow's rained out.
If they do, who's the DH against the Yanks?
My guess is they'll end up putting Haseley in left or Quinn in left and then let McCutcheon be the DH.
But Haseley's left-handed.
Oh, then probably Quinn. Put Quinn, yeah. And then let McCutcheon. Because they said they're going to do that from time to time. They just haven't gotten a chance.
Who else do they have? Neil Walker for the right side?
Yeah.
They have right-handed DH. That's why Bohm's got to be, you got to get him some at-bats.
Yeah.
Travis on a cell. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Travis.
How you doing, Mike?
What's up, Trav?
Long time listener, first time caller.
Thanks, buddy.
Listen, we were talking about the Godfather 2 and that scene with the cake, which is a classic scene.
It really is.
If you notice, you know, the first time, whenever they cut the cake, they dip the knife in the ice water.
Oh, is that right? I didn't even notice that.
You know what I mean? So the cake don't stick to the knife.
That's smart.
Yeah, it's pretty smart. I didn't know that. I was like, why are they doing that? You know, and I tried it.
I want everyone to enjoy their cake.
Yeah,
so, enjoy.
Then he said, you forgot about the smaller piece. He goes to him with a big chunk.
Yeah, smaller piece. Yeah, it's
great. Absolutely for the Flyers, I'll tell you what. It's and I think if they win a championship, Mike, I think you're going to see a parade just about as big as the Eagles. I'm telling you. It's been that long.
I don't know if you can do it. You can't have a parade. It's a pandemic.
Oh, man, this thing really sucks.
It's having a virtual parade.
Virtual crowds.
By the way, I think the NBA is doing a fantastic job in the production of these games. I love the production of it.
It's been very good.
Yeah, I love the sound that they're interjecting. It's great.
I said they even got the faux fan situation with the big screens.
Yeah,
it's an acknowledgement of the time without being
weird. What they've done.
And late in the game, I didn't miss the fan. I wondered in a close game.
Mm-hmm.
And until that last three, the game to 53, when he just had 50, when it was a 3-point game and they're playing defense, I wasn't thinking about a lack of crowd at all.
The way
they produced the game, I wasn't thinking about it at all, not one little bit.
I was. I thought about it a lot Saturday. Yeah, I just thought if there was that energy in there, for the Sixers in particular.
Well, they were on the road.
Well, I know. I'm just saying, like, is that going to impact them going forward?
I don't know what they feel about that.
That's what I mean.
It's like a flow. The way they're doing the sound is like a flow. You know, it's perfect. They're perfectly engineered.
Yeah.
To support the good things and the bad things.
Yeah, I mean, their first home game or whatever.
Yeah. All right, let's go. Ben in Delaware will be our last caller. Ben, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Ben?
Hey, how y'all doing?
Good, man. How you doing?
I'm great. Listen, man, I am so frustrated with the 76ers. Brett Brown is a joke. Literally. He's the terrible. His rotation. How is Neto getting 20-something minutes a game?
Well, only because the Shake was in foul trouble. And
okay.
Yeah.
Then you have to make some other adjustments. But Neto is not your answer.
He likes Neto.
Furkan Korkmaz is not.
He likes Furkan Korkmaz and he likes Neto.
Yeah, but they playing too
for
much.
Reasons that are very unclear to me.
Guys, this has been on the bench forever. Mm-hmm. He don't play him enough. His rotations are real raggedy, real bad. And you see, we missed Scott. We missed Scott last night.
I don't know. We'll see. We miss Scott. I was going to say, we're floundering here. Well, what do they really have? I just don't think they have enough, but we'll find out tonight. It'll be a win tonight. We'll talk about it. We'll feel a lot better about the Sixers situation tomorrow. I guarantee it. Stay tuned. Vaughn Gibbons in, then Sixers Spurs, and on TV, Building a Memory, the Spectrum, the warm-up, the Serena Winners, Sixers pregame live, and the Sixers versus the Spurs. Everybody have a great rest of the night. Be safe out there. Talk to you tomorrow.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.